Good morning. Greetings to you, people of LCC, saints and sinners, brothers and sisters, and fathers, disciples of Christ and children of God. And thank you. Thank you for this glorious morning. Thank you for joining us today, those of you that are visiting. Thank you for sharing with us this great miracle of Jesus Christ, this one interesting and very specific and very detailed miracle of Jesus Christ. And I was saying earlier that I can take this message that we've read today, all three paragraphs, and there's so much information in there, and there's so much subtext in there that I can make it into a novella and make it something completely interesting and lengthy, and still not analyze every particular that's going into this. And I'm not going to do that in this sermon by any means, or else you might be here all morning. But in this passage, Jesus encountered a man running around without a stitch of clothing, plagued by a demon and causing havoc, living in this tomb, and just being a general nuisance around the town and in the city to the people that of the Gerasenes, who we understand to be people not of the Israelites. And the Jesus calls the demon and asks his name, and the demon says Legion, which is not so much a name as it is a descriptor. And then Jesus sends, on the demon's request, into a herd of pigs, telling us that these people, the Gerasenes, being pig farmers, were most certainly Gentiles. And the actions of Jesus, who is our Jewish holy man, were again ones that reached out to a man not of the Jewish faith. And yet, these Gerasenes, how did they respond when they found out that this man who they'd come to know as a crazy man, once crazed, how did they respond? Jesus, you're scaring us. Would you please leave? Not with gratitude, but with fear. And they asked Jesus to go away. And this man who Jesus healed wanted to remain with Jesus, but what did Jesus say? He said to go out, go back home, and tell everybody what has happened to him today. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I've read this passage. This is one of my favorite miracle stories, particularly because of its implications, particularly because of its detail. And as I read it this week, I read the name that the demon provided, Legion. And we think Jesus speaks Aramaic, and the gospel is written in Greek, but this word Legion is not even a translation. It's the actual word in Latin, not Greek, legio, which is a military unit in the Roman army. And what basically Jesus is telling us is that this is not one demon, this is not a few demons, this is a horde of demons. And Legion is its name and its number. And how can I read this passage this week, this passage about a legion of demons, without bringing into my own mind, because we've all been hearing about it ever since last Saturday night, this tragedy that took place in Orlando, where 49, mostly young, mostly Latino, Latina, mostly LGBTQ people, were shot to death. And many more were injured at this nightclub called Pulse by the actions of a single gunman named Omar Mateen. And as I walked through this week listening and reading and reading and hearing what other people had to say and opinions and counter-opinions and facts and misstatements, and we learned more about the history and the motive of this young Florida man, we encounter this legion of causes and reasons that this took place. Now, the easiest and most obvious to many is this demon of violent religious, specifically Islamic fundamentalism. And yes, over the last few decades, particularly, we hear about these Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these people in the Middle East, coming from the Middle East, that reign terror and bring terror to the West and bring terror to their home countries, and all in the name of Allah. And I know many people have trouble separating the actions of the violent, few and loud, from the actions of the over a billion Muslim people in the world. Because, you know, sure enough, you can find passages in their holy book that say, you know, do these bad things. But, you know, of course, anybody that picks up a Bible on a random page might find a few passages like that ourselves. And I look further into this event, and then I see this, you know, and my natural inclination, being the progressive person that I am, my first thought is this demon of easy and ready access to weapons that are designed to kill a large number of people at once, and the horrors of this AR-15 and the AK-47s and all those other rifles and that are designed to fire off many bullets without reloading, and bullets designed to specifically for the death of human beings and nothing else, not designed to hunt, not designed for self-defense, but designed for war. That we have this loophole in the American, not even a loophole in our in the legalities of based on the Second Amendment, that allow this. And I'm enraged by the fact that we've gone through this over and over and over again, and still we can't find what we want to call sane gun control. But that's not all it is either. There's more. Because if it was just violent Islamic fundamentalism, and if it was just easy access to guns, it might have happened somewhat differently, or it might not have happened at all. But then we have this macho, sexist, and racist culture that existed in this young man's surroundings, this guard company, where calling people by horrible names that I'm not willing to repeat in this sermon was the norm. And combine that with the violent homophobia of his father, who was fairly conservative Islam, not a fundamentalist, but still conservative, but still, who said the day after the event that gay people deserve to die. And we also find out that Omar, according to his father, witnessed two men kissing in Miami Beach, and it set him off and enraged him. So there's these three combining demons. But we're talking about a legion. We find out about Omar's having visited this club over the previous 3 years, and then he gets on these pickup sites where young men hook up. And how many times does one have to visit a place like that to be casing it? And how many times does one have to go onto these websites before it gets to be something other than searching for victims? And something else, something more tragic, that Omar's homophobia might actually stem from something internal, something more compelling that cannot exist in his culture, in his father's conservative Islam, in his company's macho, patriarchal, sexist society, in his violently abusive marriages, and this demon of internalized homophobia. This failure to accept oneself. And even all that, even all that might not have set off this horrible chain of events, and we still have this continuing demon of a media frenzy that is consumed with trying to pin this event on one single cause. But this isn't the first time this has happened. This keeps happening over and over again, and our news focuses on small things that we only heard after this event about a particularly awful Christian pastors who said that those gay people were pedophiles and they deserved to die. One in Sacramento said that they should take all of us and line us up against a wall. That the shameful media focuses on these outliers, these attention grabbers who lay claim to be the spokespersons for their respective religions, and ignore the many of us who speak out, who write sermons about the tragedy it was, and how to find love, and how we need to find forgiveness. The voices that speak for those who have died, and the voices who speak about the sadness in their hearts, are countless, are more than legion. And we should be hearing about them and not all these outliers all the time. And while I cannot bring myself to empathize with this young man that committed these murders, I don't understand everything that's in a person's head that would permit them to commit such an act. I did, at one time, struggle with my own identity. Because as an adolescent, I myself prayed and prayed and prayed for God to release me of my attractions over and over again. And rather than remove it as I got older, those hormones that we get when we are teenagers, those driving forces, instead propelled me in a different direction. And so I could only have concluded as I was growing up one of two things. Either God didn't love me and I wasn't worth healing, which was something I felt for a long time. Or that the demon that I was suffering from was not a physical attraction, but a lack of self-acceptance. For being the beautiful creation that God made me to be. Our God is a powerful God. Jesus Christ heals the wounded and drives out demons that we may have in our lives and in others. When I prayed for acceptance of myself, when I prayed for what God wanted, I changed. I became someone who found that I could be loved and that God did, in fact, love me, and everything that I had thought up until that point was untrue. And that becoming the loving creation that God intended me to be, God made a miracle happen in my life. And we may struggle sometimes on a daily basis to find hope in a tragedy that befell our sisters and brothers in Orlando last Saturday night. And we have a time to mourn, and some of us might take longer to mourn, and it's okay to be sad about this. I'm still sad, and I probably will be sad about it for a long time. We know that 50 lives were cut short in an unprovoked attack that could only happened by this combined forces of numerous demons that exist both in and both because of our society. But the sadness that we feel for it and the desire that we have to move forward and to do something about it, to offer our thoughts and prayers, which is good. Thoughts and prayers are not a bad thing, despite what you might have heard. Thoughts and prayers are fine as long as we do more. To speak out to be the Christ for each other that the love of God compels us to be. That all of this is evidence of a Holy Spirit working in us and for each other. And this miracle of this gift of faith that God has in store for us, that God has given to us. That on the tragedy of Jesus' death and the miracle of Jesus' resurrection, he has redeemed us and empowered us to be this beautiful creation that God has given us, sanctified and ready to enter into God's arms. We can, my sisters and brothers, find hope even in the darkest place. Not only this tragedy, but all the tragedies that befall us. There is hope, even in our worst feelings, even when we are most sad. And we can, maybe some of us longer than others, maybe if our tragedy hits hard, move from hard tragedy and find the good news that God has in the promise that Jesus Christ has given us by his glorious death and resurrection. There is good news, my sisters and brothers. And we have it with us, loving us here today. Amen.